Things are very seldom what they seem. In my experience, they're usually a damn sight worse. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Monday, July 13th, 2020. This is episode 72. And there's not a whole lot of newness once again, just like last week and stuff. Right now there's kind of this holding pattern of sorts as we await for Indomitus and 9th edition to actually drop. We do have a few new things to discuss and whatnot, namely pertaining to the status of the pre-order situation with Indomitus. The TLDR version, it's fucked. But we'll get into that here in a moment. As far as, you know, stuff going on in my neck of the woods, I've been actually trying to pick up on hobby progress and stuff myself, but I did manage to pre-order an Indomitus box. Thank you very much to my lovely lady for permitting me to do so. It was needless to say, there's obviously a bit of a struggle with trying to be like, I have this massive backlog, but can I add to it? But I very, very, very much appreciate that she was willing to let me do so. So thank you, baby doll, very much. I greatly appreciate it and love you very much. So, but anywho, beyond that, so there's just not a whole lot to report as far as my own hobby doings and whatnot. Like I said, I have been trying to pick up on getting some work done, namely because of Indomitus coming out. I feel like I really owe it to myself and admittedly to her to actually get some of these projects taken care of. So because it's just I'm always gonna have a pile of plastic shame. I think that's just nature of the beast. It's never gonna stop, but at least it should be an ongoing process. I should be addressing it. So So, anyway, beyond that, like I said, there's just not a whole lot going on for me personally. So we'll just go ahead and start getting into the nitty-gritty and all the newness. So, what's new? Once again, not much. This Saturday did see the pre-orders for Indomitus start, which should have been met with happy times and everything else. Unfortunately, for many, it sounds like it is not going to be happy times. GW kind of made some little fuck-ups, whether done with intent or, once again, accidentally overhyping how much something would be available, only to realize, maybe we can't actually produce it at that rate. I don't know. There's a lot of people who are definitely saying that this was all done with intent and creating artificial scarcity and so on and so forth. And there's definitely some evidence that suggests that is the case. I'm of two minds as far as that subject specifically goes. But once again, we will get into that when we get into more of the meat and potatoes of the episode here. And once again, just like last week, since there's just not a whole lot of new stuff while we wait for the release, I just don't have much to report beyond that. So it'll probably be a shorter episode overall once again. The big thing I've decided too overall is that I want to wait for those discussions on the specifics with the changes in 9th and like points changes and stuff. There's been a lot of leaks for sure. And I could go over all those leaks, but part of me feels like it's doing a little bit of a disservice until I can actually see it firsthand, the actual product, so that way we aren't discussing potential misinformation. I would rather make sure I am giving out the right and proper information, namely because we've seen GW a few times put out previews or leaks come out that are immediately countered by something else. But that's not to say we won't have any conversation about it. The big thing overall as far as the leaks are concerned is that the points values for 9th edition have supposedly been leaked out. I have not watched. There's a video supposedly of a guy just basically reading off all of the points values for everything from the carryover from 8th to 9th. I haven't watched it myself, so I can't comment on that. But someone else took that video by the looks of it and made a spreadsheet that has all of the 8th edition values with their new 9th edition values and telling you how much you're looking at percentage-wise increase. Across the board, I actually do have the spreadsheet that, and I'm looking at it right now. Across the board, just clicking through and just, once again, I'm just kind of arbitrarily scrolling through. But you're seeing pretty much an increase on everything for the most part. Dang, my computer is just going nuts with notifications right now. And once again, with my new crummier headset, you might hear all these dings and bleeps and so on and so forth. I do apologize. We're seeing what looks like pretty much, like I said, across the board, at least some mild updates to the... my brain just totally clocked out on me. To the points values, we are seeing increases pretty much across the board. Some of them fairly small, it's a death by a thousand cuts sort of situation. It's 2 points here, 2 points there, but you add it all up and there you go. Just as a quick example here, Battle Sister Squad. 8th edition, they were 9 points a model. They are now up to 11 points a model, looking at a 22% increase. There's, one would say, well, it's only 2 points. Yeah, but when that's a troop's choice, that's going to be kind of the main bulk of your force, generally speaking, that's going to add up quick. If you're talking about a 2,000 point game, you figure a whole squad then of 10 of them. Well, actually, they go up to 15, but we'll just say 10 just for ease here. If you got a squad of 10 sisters, that's now an extra 20 points, and you do that, a handful of times. Say you do it 5 times, you have 5 squads. That's 100 points that would have been free for other stuff before and is now just taken up by those battle sisters. So, most of the increases are fairly small, percentage-wise. They are typically in the 20% or less, at least looking at the sisters list specifically, seeing a lot of that. There's a few, odd ducks out, that stand out here, namely the Condemner Bolt Gun. According to this here, it was 8 edition points. It was 1 point. In 9th edition, it is 55 points. So, wow, quite the substantial jump. Some things, it's 5,400% increase for those who are interested to know that. Some other things, they were just so cheap before that even mild changes have caused a massive percentage increase. For example, hand flamers went from 1 point to 5 points. So you are going to see, all those hand flamers, once again, it's going to all add up here and there. But that being said, overall, I'm personally a fan of increasing the points values. I feel like it's going to create tighter games, so there's going to be a lot less, massive sprawling, games that take hours and hours just to make one turn go through because you just don't have as much shit to move around. And plus too, I feel like it'll allow them to have a better opportunity to balance from that point. And it feels better too, generally speaking, having like a general, just everything's just going to go up in points across the board, to start with, as opposed to starting low and then having to rebalance by, raising points later. And some stuff I'm sure will end up, in that way. But it definitely feels better when things start too high and they have to bring them down into line to make sure things are powerful enough. I feel like this gives them room to breathe, I guess, when it comes to adjustments. So, because we were seeing problems before, just as a perfect example, Grey Knights, you know, they kept making them cheaper and cheaper and cheaper and cheaper because everything else was getting cheaper and cheaper. And it still wasn't necessarily balancing appropriately by just having everything increased pretty much across the board. That's going to give them room to work, rework the balance again. So, yeah, like I said, I feel like this is good. Plus, from a consumer perspective, it's actually kind of weird if you think about it, because this means GW, in theory, would be selling less stuff. You know, some people are major collectors. They just want to buy everything. And some people are definitely very focused on their budget, both from the actual battlefield points wise, versus their dollar amount. You know, if they need an extra 200 points worth of stuff for some upcoming tournament, you know, they're going to generally try to go towards whatever gets them the most, bang for their buck. You know, some people have a better, bigger budget and therefore are going to go purely for what's the most efficient thing on the field. You know, but for other people, that's not a very good option just because of money. So having these points go up across the board just means they have to buy less stuff for them. So, but yeah, you can, there, like I said, there is a spreadsheet available online and stuff. There's a video. I might put the links in and stuff. I'm not a big fan generally of linking things for leaks or downloads and things of that nature. Just because I do feel like, you know, it's one of those, yeah, it's out there. So if you want to look at it yourself, go for it. But me personally, I just don't like generally spreading that stuff around. It's just a slight ethical thing. I understand big giant corporation make lots of money. You know, money machine go, but, at the same time, it just feels weird and dirty to me. So, if you don't like that, I'm sorry, but I do have some, you know, certain limitations, you know, and stuff, so. But, anyway, moving on, the only other thing that GW's really shared, they did show some more faction focuses and stuff, but they didn't really, you know, there wasn't anything really new there. There was a little bit, though, with the an article they put out regarding the fortifications. Because they did show off some stuff for the new fortifications as well. But just as a few notes here, they did show off a new detachment fortification network that does specify you can only include one fortification network detachment in your army. I don't know why that was that hard to spit out. Your warlord cannot be a unit in this detachment, so that makes sense. It's 1 to 3 fortifications, and it costs 1 CP. However, the command benefits, if that detachment is from the same faction, if the whole detachment is all made out of stuff from the same faction, and that faction is the same as your warlord's detachment, you get +1 command point. So it just cancels that out. So then the fortification detachment is free. So, but they showed off some stuff regarding some older fortifications and stuff, like the Sacristan Ford Shrine, the Orc Mech Boy Workshop thing, the Noctolith Crown, all that stuff. And the Tidewall as well. But they also showed off stuff regarding the new things, namely the Hammerfall bunker. The new Space Marine bunker that everybody's pretty divided on, but I think there's definitely an overwhelming meh that most people feel towards it. It does have some crazy capabilities, though. Namely, it's got this defensive array. In your shooting phase, each time this model selected to shoot, its Hammerfall Heavy Bolter Array or its Hammerfall Heavy Flamer Array can target and resolve attacks against every eligible enemy unit. Yikes. Now, looking at it, I'm assuming that basically the it's going to have options to either put flamers or heavy bolters on it. It doesn't look like it comes with both, and then you choose which one to fire. It's your call which one you're putting on in the first place, from what I can tell. But yeah, those weapons can fire at every eligible target. So basically, if it's in line of sight and it's in range, you don't have to choose which one I'm going to shoot at. It sounds like you're just going to be able to fire at every single one of them. So that's pretty crazy. With the exception being in Overwatch, it can only be resolved against the thing charging at it, which that makes sense. But then the type of its Hammerfall Heavy Bolter Array is changed to Heavy 6, and the type of its Hammerfall Heavy Flamer Array is changed to Heavy 2D6. Man, I am tripping over my words today. Yeah, so this thing is going to be a nasty piece of work to try and charge at and stuff, too, by the sounds of it. But, I mean, in general, I haven't seen any more, like, a data sheet or anything personally. I'm sure there's some leak somewhere that does show it. But short of it having, like, a really expensive points value, which, actually, you know what, we could probably take a look, admittedly, at this leak and see if there's anything that can tell us specifically what we're looking at points value-wise. Range weapons, HQs, blah, blah, blah. Name characters. I don't see anything there. What about over here? No. Okay, so I don't see anything here in this spreadsheet personally. I'm just kind of quickly scrolling through it, though, so I could be missing something. But yeah, overall, unless it's ridiculously expensive points-wise, or has a really terrible ballistic skill or something because it's like an automated machine spirit sort of thing, it definitely looks like this thing, to me, is going to pack a wallop. So they did also show off the Convergence of Dominion, the new Necron terrain, which is really badass-looking stuff. The way this is set up, you have three of these star steels, part pylon, part waystone, all awesome as they describe it. You get three of them in that count as one quote unquote building. It's basically a unit of buildings, and they have to be set up not within coherency. That's not necessary. They just have to be wholly within 12 inches of one another. Or one other model from its unit, not within all of each other. But then from that point on, each model in this unit is treated as a separate unit. So once they are deployed, they have to be within wholly within at least 12 inches. God damn. Words are hard. Wholly within at least 12 inches of another model from the unit. After that, they are free to move. But wait, it's a fortification. What are you talking about this moving thing? Well, it's got this translocation protocols rule. While there are any star steel units from your army on the battlefield, cryptic units in your army can attempt the following action as described in the core book. Activate translocation protocols. At the end of your movement phase, one friendly cryptic unit from your army that is within 3 inches of any friendly star steel units can start to perform this action. It is completed at the end of your turn. Once completed, select one of those star steel units and remove it from the battlefield. In the reinforcement step of your next movement phase, set that star steel unit back up on the battlefield anywhere that is more than 9 inches away from any enemy models. If the battle ends and that star steel unit is not on the battlefield, it is destroyed. So you can move them around, which is nice. It also helps with adding, what they do is they do add 2 leadership characteristic to any Necrons within 6 inches of them. So it helps you avoid this new morale damage thing that we got going on. And then they are armed with transdimensional abductors with a 12-inch range, assault D3, strength 4, AP -3, 3 damage. Rather impressive piece of equipment when you think about it. It's basically a really nasty anti-infantry weapon. The Assault D3 does make it a little unreliable as far as how many people you're going to be hitting, and it's short range. So you're probably going to want to primarily use this in such a way where you can set it up for denial purposes, because it's, you know, that's not chump change when you think about the fact that you could take three hits against, you know, an elite squad in particular of infantry. Though typically with elite squads of infantry, they're going to, like, you know, heavy infantry, they're going to be toughness 5 or higher. So you're typically going to be wounding on fives, which is definitely not that great. But when you do get those fives off, you're looking at AP neg 3 and 3 damage. So short of something having a really good invulnerable save, even like a 2-up armor save is looking at only being a 5 now itself, and then 3 damage on top of it could be pretty nasty. But overall, I would say that the weapon is very situational on how useful it's going to actually be. If it was Assault 3 and Strength 5, I would say that this is definitely far more of a yes. As it stands, the Assault D3 just makes it too unreliable, and it's not a blast weapon by the looks of it, based on the little data line they have here for it. So you're not going to even be able to do the whole, well, up against bigger squads and hordes, I'm going to get some automatic amount of attacks. No. But yeah, like I said, when it does successfully pull it off against heavy infantry, it's going to be really scary. If you get the good rolls for it. The main thing is just getting over that strength versus toughness thing. Once that's broken, you've got a good shot at killing some dudes. That being said, a smart opponent will just toss cheap shit at it, you know, throw a bunch of Gretchen guardsmen or whatever else, just to absorb what little fire it can put out. Make that 3 damage basically useless, is a big thing. So, once again, this is within a vacuum just based on what's available on the preview. I'll reserve final judgment for once I see actual points values, and see, like, you know, how it works in a list, beyond that. So, but yeah, that is all the more news I really have to report right now as far as that stuff goes. As one last note, this weekend here that just passed, beyond the fact that pre-orders for Indomitus went up, Black Library did, for those who are interested, release some new books, available even as audiobooks, namely the next in the Siege of Terra series. So if you've been following the Siege of Terra series, the new one is out. I believe it is written by Dan Abnett, so probably guaranteed to be a really good one, and worth checking out. But at any rate, we're going to go ahead and take a quick little break. When come back from the break, we're going to go ahead and go over the mess that is the Indomitus launch. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Regimental Vox. Follow the Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/ the Regimental Vox podcast or on Twitter @ Regimental Vox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/ the Regimental Vox today.
Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I mentioned before the break, wanted to cover a little bit over this whole Indomitus snafu. So, for those who are unfamiliar, for some silly reason, this past Saturday was the launch of the Indomitus pre-orders. Unfortunately, worldwide, it sounds like, it was a bit of a big fucking clusterfuck for many people. To a degree, this is kind of expected. GW admittedly does not have a great history of super successful, super smooth launches. Especially for super hot items like the Indomitus box. Part of the problem here, though, is that it's, you know, one could say, well, it's a super popular item, it was kind of expected there might be a problem, blah, blah, blah. The main issue here, though, is that GW themselves had posted and hyped up, we're going to have a fuck ton of these things available. Everybody's going to be able to get their hands on it. You know, we are going to do some limitations as far as the amount that people can buy to prevent scalping and so on and so forth, which at first was like, all right, sounds like they're learning from, you know, lessons of the past finally. They even went so far as to add anti-bot features to both their sales site as well as the Warhammer community page, where you had to click on the whole I am not a robot thing and then pick out a bunch of pictures and crap, you know, little puzzles. And which admittedly has been a little frustrating that it's like, why is it on the community page even? It's just, and that it's like every single time I go to the page almost. It's had a few times where it's let me go straight to the page, but not very frequently. So, and it's annoying and so on and so forth. But if it prevents all the scalpers and bots and all that bullshit, fine. But very shortly before release, they had announced some changes that it was no longer going to be 6 per person. It was 3. Okay. You know, that seems still fair, but you guys had just said it would be 6. And at first it seems like this is might be even further against, you know, to try and stop scalping and all that jazz. All right. I can deal with that then, if that's the case. Because personally, I think I've made it very obvious how I feel about scalpers and, all that shit. I'm not too terribly pissed off about resellers who like split the box, and look for a little bit of profit, namely when stuff is a little bit further out, you know, after something has, you know, released, for a while and, you know, people who've wanted it have gotten it and so on and so forth. I'm still, like I said, a little mixed bag and stuff as far as how I feel about that whole split for profit thing. I understand splitting, you know, just straight up split down the middle sort of shit. Or, you know, maybe if you're not keeping the rule book, if all you want is like just the Necron models, you don't want anything else out of the box, then maybe selling it for a bit more and stuff, you know, than a direct fitty split. I get it. I can feel you there. But what we're seeing, unfortunately, is that that's not the case. On launch day, earlier on in the day, people on the other side of the pond, their orders were able to start earlier on in the day. Mass complaints of the website being sold out within minutes of launch. This website crashing and stuff. And that's, once again, I get it, that happens with so many people trying to do things at once. There's going to be technical issues. And I get too, I feel like GW has been trying to take steps to stop that, but they still have not worked it out completely, which is problematic. But the main issue here is that it has done nothing to prevent scalping. And it seems more than anything else from what we're hearing too, that this is not an issue even regarding too many scalpers trying to get their hands on these things, or, you know, even supposedly there's, you know, some evidence and possibility too that GW may have oversold how many they plan to produce. What seems to be more the issue, by the sounds of it, from what I've been hearing and reading, is that GW decided to say fuck all y'all to a lot of the trade accounts and keep a bunch of the copies for themselves so that they could sell them at the full MSRP through their website instead, the same website that crashed a fuck ton and everything else, after they had already, after they'd already allocated how many were going to the retailers and stuff, they end up changing their mind, but not because they didn't produce enough. Once again, from what I'm hearing, because they produced the amount they planned to. They just decided that they wanted more of the cut. Now, granted, they're a business. And as a business, they're all about making money. I understand that. The problem I'm having here is more that doing things purely for profit's sake, that you don't do things with the consumers in mind. You don't do things with your business partners in mind, so on and so forth, creates this mistrust in a company. And in turn, creates frustrated consumers, frustrated retailers and trade account holders, so on and so forth. And they end up deciding they're fucking done with it. You know, that they've had enough of dealing with the bullshit. I mean, mind you, I managed to get my pre-order lined up at a local store. And I even got it at a discount, so on and so forth. So, you know, I'm going to be a happy camper in a couple weeks here. But a lot of people are missing out. Or they're having to go hit up eBay because this whole artificial scarcity problem did not stop the scalpers. If anything, it's merely encouraged them to take this a step further. The worst part of it that I'm reading and seeing, too, is that these are not just one-off individuals looking to fuck people over. That there are many retailers that are taking to eBay and stuff and selling their stock at raised and gouged pricing. This is not acceptable. There's questions. There's plenty of questions on the legality of it. But I'm not even gonna remark really on that because A, I don't know all the legalities involved with the price gouging since it is considered a luxury good and so on and so forth. I don't know if there is any legal recourse, so we're not even going to talk about that. I am merely talking about the moral and ethical quandary that is involved here. Being, once again, you have these one-off assholes who buy up a bunch of copies just so they can flip them for profit. What you traditionally think of as scalpers, they suck. They are part of the reason that a bunch of hobbyists can't buy the products that they want, and they are part of the reason that GW should actually try to fight against scalpers more. I talked about this, I think, in last week's episode, that not fighting the scalpers, one would say, well, GW already got their money, so who the fuck do they care what they do with the product afterwards? But once again, if you've got a bunch of hobbyists out there with a limited budget, and if they've got $400, I think that was the example I used last week. If you got $400 to spend, if you're able to get a Domitus, even we'll say at full regular price, that leaves you an extra $200 to buy other products, So GW ends up getting all the, all these various profits. They sell a copy of Indomitus, be it they themselves directly or through the wholesale pricing to the retailer that, goes on to sell to the consumer at the full MSRP. I get that. But the point is then this same hobbyist has an extra $200 that they're going to spend on paints and on books and on other model kits and stuff to go with it. So GW actually gets more money out of it versus the scalper. They're just getting that one-time sale that they sold the box to the scalper, even if they got the full $200. Because let's say that person bought it from GW directly, and they got the full $200 minus whatever their, costs are for production and stuff. But that's all they get then. They don't get the remaining amount that's part of somebody's budget. That's all going into the scalper's pockets. So it behooves GW to fight these scalpers, and while they've made some strides, they clearly have not done enough. Now, what makes the situation worse, though, once again, is the fact that this is not just these one-off scumbag assholes that are buying up the limited edition product and flipping on themselves. These are there's plenty of trade account holders that are getting these things at the wholesale prices, and they're not selling them at the MSRP, and they are turning around and flipping them online for exorbitant prices themselves. That's shameful. Once again, not questioning the legality of it, because I don't know the legality of it. You do you. This is still, there's still the whole free market thing and so on and so forth. But my point is that the free market should not purely be based on the amount of profit involved. Because when you look at just pure profits, it's a short-sighted way of looking at the situation. Yes, you may make extra money right now, but you may piss off a bunch of people who would have been loyal customers otherwise. back when I worked at GameStop, a big part of my philosophy on running the business and everything else was to give the customer what was going to make them happiest, even if it didn't necessarily give me the best profit. And one would say, "Oop, well, that's bad." I cannot tell you, though, the amount of times that I would sell somebody a lesser value product, or sometimes even have them end up leaving my store without buying anything, which was a gamble, mind you, it was a risk. But the amount of times that that would happen, and that same person would come back a week or two later and not only buy the suggested products that I told them that they should buy instead, they'll buy a whole shit ton of other shit. And then, a perfect example, I actually one time had a guy come in. He wanted to buy an Xbox. I explained to him that based on what his son was looking for and what they wanted out of the product, and also explained to him at the time the amount of issues with Xbox 3, I think it was the 360, the amount of issues and everything else that they had with them functionality-wise, he did end up leaving without buying anything. I had suggested going PlayStation instead, but he decided he wanted to talk to his wife and think about it. He came back a couple days later, bought a PS3 and a bunch of shit to go with it, and then he came back a couple weeks later, and he just wanted to tell me personally that he couldn't believe how much of a better product he'd gotten out of it, how much happier his son was and stuff versus his own experience, his son's own experiences playing on his friend's Xboxes and whatnot. He became a loyal customer, a long-term loyal customer, not just a guy who walks in, buys the thing and leaves and I never see him again. He would come in regularly from then on, spending a lot more money, and he was coming to my store specifically because of the fact that I was honest and upfront with him and gave him something that he appreciated more than the initial thing he was looking for. Adding that extra touch, that sense of humanity and ethical business practices will make better customers that will spend more money. If you want to look at it purely from the shitty profit corporate perspective, if you want to just look at customers as wallets, that's fine and all. And if we can even say in this case too, I'll just say that guy is a wallet, to my business. And his wallet is open and ready to just dump itself into my coffers because I was ethical about things. Rather than him just buying something, piecing out, being unhappy with it, or just not getting quite what he'd hoped out of it and everything. And even if he would have gotten what he hoped out of it, because of the fact that I gave him honest stuff and told him flat out, I would prefer you leave here today with what's going to make you happiest and fit your family the best, he wanted to come shop with me all the time. That's a good way to do your business. Sometimes you'll have a little bit of short-term dips in your potential profits and sales because of being honest and ethical, but it's going to pan out better long-term. That guy was not an anomaly. I had tons of customers that would come to my store specifically because of the honest business practices. They would complain about other locations in the company that they had visited, that they were treated poorly or felt like they got swindled and so on and so forth. And they were impressed by the fact that we didn't do that shit. It worked out for the better for everybody in the long run. The reason I'm bringing this up is because of the fact that there's even been there was some conversations on a Facebook group locally here talking about this whole situation with these not just resellers but retailers actually selling this shit at exorbitant gouged prices, and even a local business owner did jump in and at first trying to defend the practice overall. And by the end of it, he was belittling and berating other people that were in the conversation and everything else, and so on and so forth. And I'm not going to name names or anything like that. What's the unfortunate part about this whole thing, though, is that the stores themselves, the shop itself is a great place. The people who work there are super nice. And I want to support a local business and so on and so forth. But being told by the guy who owns a business, you know, that, well, what I do with my business is my business, and if you don't like it, you can fuck off and never come spend money here again. It's like, I get that, but being, you know, being nice to people, I get that it's your business and all, but being nice to people and trying to engender loyalty instead of telling people, well, if you're going to complain about stuff, I'm going to stop carrying your products and you don't have to spend your money here anymore, so fuck off. It's not a good way to, you know, promote business. It's just really not. It looks really shitty. Even to people who might not even play the hobby and stuff, if they see that type of thing, they might just be like, I don't know if I really want to do business with somebody who acts like that towards people. You know, you see that a lot in politics lately, unfortunately, too. Even local politics, my town here has had a lot of candidates basically censoring and blocking people and attacking people personally for, you know, people who ask like legitimate questions in a professional and calm manner, and having these politicians and candidates come back and saying, well, I don't like what you said, so bye, and that's it. That's the end of the conversation. They bully these people for asking a question, looking for honest answers. They bully them instead of even bothering to try and answer it. They just bully them and shut them out and call it a day. It's a shitty way to do politics. It's a shitty way to do business. And it's just not smart, you know, is what it boils down to. There were several people who had commented on this thing overall with this business in mind, just being like, I don't really want to spend money there anymore, you know? And like I said, rather than him even trying to backpedal or apologizing, it was more, well, fine, you don't want to buy it, I'm not going to carry it anymore. That's always his response, unfortunately, whenever he's involved in these conversations. And I think the worst part overall is that he did come in defending what are obvious shady business practices, and I don't disagree with his logic about it. You know, he's just saying how, you know, we got employees to pay, we got rent to pay, so on and so forth. Okay, I get that. You need to make money, but, you know, blatantly stating, I also perform shady business practices, so I'm going to come in and defend these practices, doesn't make sense at all, and it just looks bad. I don't even think that in the first place, I don't think it was brought up at all. Like, this post was not about his store, the post was not about him specifically or anything, and yet he still felt the need, as far as I could tell. I've looked at the post a couple times to see if I missed something, but as far as I could tell, there was never any personal attack on him or his business practices or anything like that until he came in and started, you know, talking about how he wanted to defend these practices and how he does those things himself and so on and so forth. So, once again, I'm not going to name names of him, the business, or anything like that, namely because of the fact that I do honestly feel like the store itself and the employees are good guys. It's a great store, and I think that it's still a good local business that should be supported all the same. And this was less to be, in no way, shape, or fashion do I want to make this whole episode a personal attack on a specific person. Far from it. This, I want to be a conversation more about just shady business practices as a whole, regardless of who's involved. And like I said, there, as far as I could tell, there was realistically no reason for him to be involved in the conversation in the first place. He made himself involved in the conversation and made it about him, unfortunately, in the process. So, like I said, this episode is in no way, shape, or fashion meant to reflect that specifically. This is more about the general, you know, act and action of doing such practices and stuff, regardless of whether you are a, you know, scalper, a local small business, or a giant corporation. Shady business practices are shady no matter what. It doesn't matter what your reasonings really are and everything. It's still shady. It's still shitty and it shouldn't be done. So, but yeah, that was basically my two cents on the subject that I wanted to share. Oh, and one last thing, actually, I wanted to discuss earlier and I totally missed, but on a related note, the app, the Warhammer app for Warhammer 40,000. There's been a lot of pissed off people over this whole thing, too. It was supposed to be out this weekend. It is not. It is going to be available for free. However, you will need to pay a subscription fee of $5 a month, to my understanding, to have full access to all the things, including list building. I'm of two minds of this as well. I feel like somebody should be totally more than it's totally acceptable for somebody to want to charge you money for a service they provide. And I think the idea of people just bitching, well, it should be 100% free all the time. Yeah, well, that's not how business works. Not everything can be free all the time. Otherwise, there's no money for things to exist. So particularly in the realm of apps and things of that nature, I would rather pay money for a high-quality app that's going to work properly and have nice features than get a free one that runs like garbage. That being said, you're going to have to pay a $5 subscription fee a month to build lists through this app when Battlescribe is a thing. And Battlescribe is wonderful. It is free, and it is a fantastic product. GW is going to have a really, really hard time convincing people to spend $5 a month. They're going to really have to bring something to the table that makes this app shine well and above other list building apps that are available for free. So I would like to see them try. I'd like to see how it works out. I'll probably try out the subscription when it's available, just to see firsthand and review it. Whether I keep it or not will be dependent on how functional that app really is. So, but I'll reserve all that judgment for when it's available. But I think I'm going to call that a call today. As always, thank you guys for listening. You can hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast. Follow me on Twitter at @RegimentalVox. And also donate through Patreon, patreon.com/theRegimentalVox. Every little bit can help with getting this podcast off the ground even better. So, but thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all in the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.